Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening on Q. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining, friends. No matter if you're the innkeeper or the shepherd, the angel or the king, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You're a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to leave where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will on cue and his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It's how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a star, broken, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem. And since he helped them build a way of life, he C-U-E them up. C is for common ground, what we can agree on. So why we've come together. U is a unified thought. What vision can we share? What's the direction we're going? It's the what. And then E is equally yoked. What's the game plan? What success looks like? What's my role in that? And how are we going to do this together? So Q leadership, generally, in general sense, integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model to help you do two things. One, get people to trust you. Two, and get people to follow you in discipleship. Trust and discipleship is at the axis of leadership. As we always do, we want to start our show with a prayer. So, Lord, you're a powerful, merciful, living God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. We know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, by giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q. Your word says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align, to equip, transform some new leaders for your glory, and help others hear the call and receive the call and raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what to expect today? We, during our time, we'd like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap and to tap into faith and tap into in order to build that foundational trust and foundation discipleship, and highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's goodness in their own lives. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine some light on some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, provide a different lens in order to see things, and not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but to get to the root of the problem. Treat the infection in a sense and not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open, and we pray that you should hear the Lord and not me. Let's have the right questions, and no matter what the differences may be, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinion. Of course, we all welcome that, but let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And at the end of the day, let's be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue. So do everyone remember the hit TV show Highway to Heaven? It starred Michael Landon and Jonathan Smith as Jonathan Smith, an angel sent by heaven to help people with their various tribulations. His first encounter, if you remember, was his bitter, hardened ex-cop named Mark Gordon, who also played a familiar face, Victor French, in the Little House on the Prairie, whose life has helped set the right course by making him his earthly assistant. Remember that. The pair, they pose as laborers. They roam across the country in search of those in need and guided by Smith's boss, who is God Almighty himself. And nobody's perfect, of course, but even every helpful team of Smith and Gordon, each one of them made plenty of mistakes along the way, but in the end, they changed numerous lives and learned a few lessons along the way as well. And each person that they helped was touched by an angel. It also leads to the next show, if you remember, the Touched by an Angel series with Monica, Tess, and Andrew, played by Roma Downey, Della Reese, and John Dive with Monica, Tess, and Andrew, the trio of angels sent to heaven to tell the depressed and troubled people that God loves them and has not forgotten them. And these angels dispatched in heaven to inspire people who, at the crossroads of their lives, at the crossroads of decisions, at the crossroads of despair, where Monica, an angel who at times still needed some guidance with her earthly assignments, reported to Tess, who was the tough, the wise, and always the loving supervisor, which joined then Andrew, who, in addition to his duties as the angel of death, helps out caseworkers on various assignments. But these angels not only bring answers to every problem, but they also deliver the message of hope. Not unlike any other angel we read in the Word of God, where angels have several clearly defined roles in the Word, which includes instruments of God's will, where we see angels sometimes carry out the will of God on earth, and particularly in sequence of known as the end times, you know, or even like Jonathan and Jonathan Smith and Mark Gordon, Highway to Heaven, as well as those in Touched by Angels, where we saw Lord use also his awesome might in the death of the 185,000 Syrians in Sennacherib's army, or times where his will to save individuals such as Isaac, Daniel, and Peter. In the second role for angels is the ministering the spirits. The New Testament in the book of Hebrews identify the purpose of angels to minister to be saved. And Hebrews 1:4 tells us, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit the salvation? Like what angels who were sent to strengthen others, and even when they were sent to strengthen Christ when in his tough times. So the third function of angels being messengers, messengers of God, delivering warnings, issuing proclamations, and also interpreting visions. A key role for them was to come between, that go-between from us and God. And sometimes these angels delivered a single message to a single human from Hagar, sometimes to a multitude of people. Sometimes the message was a warning, like to Lot. Sometimes brought good tidings of great joy, or like the season we're in now, in the shepherds minding his flock in Luke. And even the message to the purpose to Mary. And the last role that we see from angels is attendants, where angels act as attendants or worshipers of God in heaven, bringing the good news, as we know, and also particularly about the season we're in right now. It's where we look in Luke, where it says, suddenly there was an angel of multitudes of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in highest, and on earth peace among those who he is pleased. And there's various ways that in various versions you can say that. But angels were heralds all about the newborn Savior. But notice they only sent to come to get the poor, the humble, the pious, those shepherds who were tending their flock, who were in their business of their calling, keeping watch, just common folks. That's who the angels went to. And they were sharing that we should let God have his honor for this work because his goodwill towards men has manifested in sending the Messiah, sending the Savior. And the other works of God are all for his glory, but this redemption of this world was for the highest. And it was the highest in God's goodwill in sending Jesus brought peace into this world. Peace is here. It's kind of putting all good ways to kind of flow us through to us through Christ, but this is a faithful saying, a testament to a company of angels, and well worthy of all of what is glory and all the things it's kind of brought to. But notice, though, that the shepherds lost no time, but they came at haste in the place that just dropped everything when they were called. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And it still proclaims and rings to our ears, not only today, but also to us that is born a Savior, Christ the Lord, and the true reason for the season. And this should be glad tidings to all, and it's among this fateful night. And if you kind of think about it, there was still God was doing his work, and he makes his decisions to direct these angels to do his bidding in a way that they don't act independent of the Lord, but they carry out judgment, service, praising, all of these things. So imagine the chorus of angels on that fateful night when Christ was born. And some debate if angels are really singing, but who cares? singing, talking, chanting, it was praising the Lord. So what brings us to question of the day? What happens when angels sing? Helping us with that is you, but also helping us with that is a longtime friend and who was born to sing. It's Linda Clark, and she's a remarkable, remarkable mezzo-soprano with a phenomenal voice that with range. She was born in Detroit, but raised in L.A., Lower Alabama, for those who don't know, and currently resides in Virginia. She has worked to perform and opened with and sang backup for many that you will recognize, from Al Jarreau to Merritt Brown Clark, to Reed Marie, Israel Halton, and also Vicki Winans. And the list goes on and on and on. And so she's here to talk about the true reason of the season and also share some of her great, great music. And so during the break, we're gonna share some of her, one of her pieces on her album, The Christmas with Linda Clark. And so when we come back, we'll have Linda on and we'll jump right into some dialogue with her. So after the break, we'll continue that. We'll start our dialogue with Linda Clark, who's answering the question of the day, what happens when angels sing? So during the break, stay with us. Call us at 310-861-2331. Press 1 on your telephone, and that raises your hand virtually if you want to make a comment or speak. And bear with me, because I'm managing all this by myself tonight because my daughter's away. So usually she has things going a little bit more smoothly than I am tonight. So you're welcome to log into our live chat room and have a conversation with me as well. We would love to hear from your friends. Our number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and we will be right back.
Merry Christmas
join us today. She's helping to answer the question, what happens when angels sing? She's going to help us with that, so feel free to call us and talk with us at 310-861-2331. And if you can, please let's have a virtual applause for Miss Linda Clark. Linda, welcome.
Hello, Eric. Thank you so much for having me. I'm wonderful. Hey. How are you?
Great. I'm going to have trouble calling you Linda, so I may slip a Lynn in
there
every now and then.
So go ahead and just switch it up right now. Go ahead and you let everybody know that we're longtime friends, so go ahead and call me Lynn from this point forward.
Hey, right. Well, good. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
How am I going to say that every time?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. It's been a long time, and it seems like we just go right back to what we were years ago, but it has been almost 25 years. But we knew through our parents of what each other was doing. It kind of seemed like we were still connected, though, right?
Yes, indeed. Always connected.
Absolutely. So we're going to dive right in. You know, we always open our show with the same two questions. And first question for you is, what is that one word that describes you, Lynn?
Wow. That's a tough one, Eric. You know, that is a real, really tough question. If I had to narrow it down to absolutely one, not two, just one, the one word that I believe would sum it all up is blessed.
Blessed.
And yes, blessed. I wanted to say something that was a singer because that's what I am, but it's like, you know what, that's not all that I am. So then I thought of another word. No, the thing that sums it all up is blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So share more of why did it sum it up?
I narrowed it down to the word blessed because I believe in every area of my life where I am blessed, I'm also blessed to be a blessing. Being blessed is not just about me. It's not just about my family. It's not just what's been given to me, the gift that God has blessed me with, the material or non-material things, the family that he's blessed me with, the friends such as yourself that he's blessed me with. But it's about the blessing that comes as a result of those things. And, you know, it just continues to pour out these tentacles that God pours in and it reaches out. It just definitely comes back to that one word, which is blessed. You know, I'm blessed to be a blessing to others. And that in itself is an amazing, amazing thing.
It is amazing. It is an amazing thing. It's a great word as well. I think it's one of the first ones I've had of all the shows that's been blessed. And I think everyone kind of skates around it, but it does sums it up in a lot of different ways. So the second one, if money's no issue, what would you do every day?
Another tough question. I originally thought, wow, I would travel. No, don't do that. Oh, I would do this. No. But you know what? This is what I came to the conclusion of. I believe if money was no issue, Eric, I would do more of what I do now every day.
Right.
If money was no issue, I believe that I would travel more to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through song. I believe if money was no option, I would do more to be that blessing that I talked about in question number one. I definitely would get more rest. I definitely would really, really love to do more singing, more acting, more going to and fro, you know, if money was no issue.
Right. I understand. I understand. And we're here, especially when you know what your purpose is. That's the easiest for what you're doing. So you know, those two questions also help our audience to kind of know you a little bit, and as well as, so with that, tell us about Linda Clark, family, childhood, profession, just, you know, what do people need to know?
Who are you? Who am I? Linda Clark. Oh, wow. I am the wife of one husband. We have six beautiful children together, ranging in the ages from 23 all the way down to 12. We are the Clark Bunch, three girls, three boys. We live here in Virginia by way of the military. My husband retired from the military. I served in the military. And now I work for the Department of Defense. So that's an awesome testimony in itself there, from Alaska to Georgia to Kansas to Germany. You know, here I am in Virginia now and still, you know, doing what God has putting me to do. I was, like you said, when you were reading the bio, I was born in Detroit, in Motown. I mean, literally streets from Motown, and but raised in L.A., Laura, right. Alabama. After I was born, my dad moved us back to Alabama, where the family was, his mom and my mom's mom. Everybody was down, and I often question why we moved back down. I was like, Dad, you know, you were in the era of, you know, Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye and all this. Why did we go back to Bama? You know, you could have made it big, because my father, as you'll probably get to a little later, is an awesome musician himself, my mom and everything, but that's not what God's ultimate plan for our lives were. And even looking back over all of the things we've experienced and all of the things that we know that Motowners have experienced, wow, you know, I'm thankful for the decision that he made to move us back. But that's who I am. I you know, I have two sisters, two brothers. They all are musicians in their own right. Beautiful, beautiful people. I just love, love, love my family. We're all about family and friends. And, you know, I get back to Alabama as much as possible to hang out with my family and my siblings. And that's what it's all about. So,
well, we're great.
That's,
yeah, it
who
is.
Who I am.
I've seen all of that. Yeah, I was a little, yeah. I didn't know about being born there. So, but it was, that was new for me. So that was new for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So,
and
so,
I'm
you know,
the
you're,
only
you're,
child of five that was born in out of Alabama.
Right.
Go figure.
Right. You know, you have this passion. You have a particular passion around inspiration, my gospel music. But you know, you perform all across genres. I mean, from country to R&B, jazz, pop. You know, rock.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, and tell us about some of the folks you perform with along the way.
Well, from middle school, junior high, high school, you know, singing in the jazz trios and the bands and the, I don't know if you remember Miss Milla McDonald, she's still at Greenville High, but, you know, being able to learn all of the different genres of music. And then when I went to college on a music scholarship, we sang so many genres of music, and I'd learned to appreciate so many different types of music. I learned how to reach people other than people who looked like me. And, you know, that was a beautiful thing to you know, have people whom I had never really had the pleasure of singing before, whether it was a country song or whether it was a pop or, you know, something funk or whatever. It's like, wow, you know, music
right.
does this. Music is a universal language. And, you know, even when I left college and joined the military, although I worked on missile launchers during the day, I actually sang with the Army Band at night.
Really? Wow.
And, yes, and I had the opportunities of singing for, like, retired General Colin Powell and singing so many different, because we just can't sing one thing. We can't sing one thing because we're not just one people and we're not limited by one song. So in really, really from traveling from coast to coast, state to state, country to country, and learning how to really reach out and touch the people, because that's who it's all about, touching the people. It's not just about what I like, but it's about what they like. And, again, music being the universal language, you have to find out where people are, what they like, and what touches them, and tap into that and be able to present that and present it well. And, you know, like you were saying with the country, I had the pleasure of singing with one of my dear friends, Patrick Davis, who's a country star. We opened for Hootie and the Blowfish and at Myrtle Beach House of Blues, and that was amazing. I mean, such, again, sincere appreciation for music and artists across the plateau. It's really an awesome, awesome thing. Awesome
no
thing.
Doubt, but you can't forget about the Mayhans, though. You can't forget about
them. Never.
Come on, now. You can't leave them
never.
Out. Tell them about
honey, never that. Growing up in the house of the Mayhans, oh, my gosh, and even going back, to the house of the Mahans. We cannot get away without singing a song. Sometimes I can't get off the phone with my mom without singing a song. But we call them singings. I don't even know if that's right. Going to singings church after church on Saturdays and Sundays, signing in when you get to a church, listening to groups after groups after groups sing their songs, their A and their B selections. And, right. You know, but mom and dad taught us these songs. And, again, not just the, you know, the gospel songs. You know, we were raised listening to a lot of the Motown and the appreciation. And hearing mom and dad with this harmony and this deep passion for the music, you know, even if we're cleaning the house on Saturday morning, we hear the music playing in the background. That became a part of our lives, and I just cannot imagine my life without music. And I'm so grateful for mom and dad who instilled that into us at such an early age, and still carry that out. That, like you know, my mom and dad are somewhere now. They're not on the call today because they're somewhere singing. And so it's
my mother's
a beautiful
with them.
Thing.
She's not listening tonight either. So
connected. The power of connection. I love it.
No, it's, you know, when my mom lovingly refers to your parents as Nate and Sadie, of course, and friends, if you're listening, if you want to know some salt-of-the-earth people, they are absolutely salt-of-the-earth, and you know, our parents, of course, have been friends for a long time, but, you know, it those things kind of shape your life, though, Lynn, right?
As
you
indeed.
Start from artists and traveling around the world and so forth, and it really kind of mold you into that purpose in a sense. Can you just kind of those two together for us?
Yeah. Again, you know, being raised in Alabama, we weren't exposed to a lot of things, even though we were exposed to life and situations, and we didn't understand a whole lot of things that we saw or were going through. And honestly, you know, we didn't have a whole lot, have the things that we have today. But we never went without. And,
sure.
I mean, we were in a house so full of love. And my mom and my dad had no problems keeping us grounded. Trust, okay? Trust that. No problems keeping us grounded. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the song, My Mom and Dad Drug Me to Church, you know. But that's what was one of those things that, on Sunday, I don't care if you're working, I don't care if you got a little job, and I don't care if you have an extracurricular activity, but Sunday morning, your place will be in church. And they instilled that into us at an early age. So even when I left Alabama, I was always in somebody's church. It may not have been on a regular basis as I, you know, would have liked, or I'm sure my parents would have liked in the beginning, but it was just something. It's like they say, train up a child in the way that they'll go, so when they're old, they won't depart from them. But even when I tried to skate away and do my own little thing, I'm on my own now, I'm grown, yeah, okay, that thing that they put that deep down, that seed that they put down on the inside of me took root. And it began to uproot and grow and flourish. And regardless of where my feet landed, Eric, I always had the foundational teachings that mom and dad had given me, keeping God first, using my gift, being faithful on the, you know, of the few things that God had given me, seeing my mom and dad push in the ministry, seeing them push despite hard times, despite criticisms, despite people not understanding their walk, their call, that, my friend, I can really see. That's why one of the reasons I can keep going when the times get rough, when it gets hard and I don't feel like doing this anymore, I remember that it's not about me. And if my mom and dad could do it even back all those many years in a congregation of 10, honey, I have no excuse. So that's one of the things, you know, I just – they are the salt of the earth, and, you know, they say you'll know them by their fruit.
Absolutely.
And I think about my siblings again, you know. You can say what you want to, but if you look at the fruit, you know, of you can't deny an
I'll
apple tree
you.
If you see apples hanging off of it. It's no denying that. And, you know, my mom and dad are such, not just because they're mine, but, yeah, because they're mine, they're such awesome, awesome parents. I just cannot imagine my life without them. And, you know, they've been married for 46 years. Bless God.
Yes.
That in itself is a testament. And you know, I am what I am. Of course, because of God's grace, but definitely because of my mom, Nay and Sadie. I just love them so much, and thank God for them.
Yeah, you know, I can. You're so right, and you said it just right. I'm a testament for you just to see what I see, and you're so right. They will know them by the truth, and they've done such a great
mm-hmm.
job. And I love
praise
them to
God.
Death. And I just
praise
love
God.
Mom's beautiful smile and everything, and it just mm-hmm. But you know, to your point though, it goes back to your one word, to the blessing, being a blessing
mm-hmm.
to others. Basically, you were the seed, the soil, and the sower at the same
mm-hmm.
time. What they
mm-hmm.
were doing,
and
now you're trying to do the same thing.
Trying to do the same thing.
Sowing seeds, and being the soil for other folks in order to kind
yeah.
of bring, to give them, in some sense, a new beginning, right? And kind
yes.
of which kind of leads to, you know, one of your songs off your latest album. Can you talk about your latest
yes.
album and lead us into this new beginning?
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Thank you. My latest album, title track, New Beginning, album was also titled New Beginning. One of the songs that I wrote on the album, it definitely points to life, like, you know, life in the how often we begin again. And there are so many times in our life, I know me personally, speaking personally, that I felt like, you know, I was at my wit's end and there was nowhere to go. But
mm-hmm.
I love that in God, not so much as in people, because sometimes when you're done with people, you're just done. That's right. You just got to cut them off and keep it moving. But with God, there is never a cutting off. With God, there's always a new beginning. God is always there to pick us right back up and dust us off and send us on our way when we need a new beginning. And, you know, it points to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7, if any man be in Christ, and that's the condition, that's the caveat. If you are in Christ, your old things are passed away. You can definitely have a new beginning. And I love the season. Every day that we're in Christ, I believe that God is capable of giving us a new beginning. If we could only receive the new beginning, it's there. It's there for the asking.
Amen to that. So with that, we're going to go to our break. With the new beginning, so feel free to call at 310-861-2331 to ask a question, have a comment, or talk about the song, or ask Lynn a question. So after break,
mm-hmm.
Be on the other side. There's new beginnings.
That's what I want to be, not what I used to be. Becoming all I'm meant to be. That's what I want to be, not what I used to be. Coming up, I meant to be.
I had us on mute. See, I told you I needed Kennedy. I told you I needed Kennedy here. Thanks for staying with us here. I'm just going off on a new segment, so forgive me. I'm operating the switchboard by myself. This is On Cue. This is host Eric Powell, and we are answering our question of the day. What happens when angels sing? We have our great guest, Lynn Clark, who's here, who's talking about her new album, New Beginnings, and as well as her new Christmas album. You know, Lynn, I sometimes dream of singing that way, but, I go to myself. You know, I know sometimes my daughters look at me when I'm singing in church, like, okay, don't just keep that a little low, Dad, you know.
Right. Oh, wow.
Oh, man, this is great. You know, if you think about it, though, Lynn, that's such a great song, and, you know, it is about a new beginning, and that's mm-hmm. one thing about being in Christ. You can have a new beginning and just continue
yeah.
to stay. You know, when all the things you've done, I know it's probably a tough question to narrow it down, but just give us just one of your most memorable moments in performing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. God, you have great questions, tough questions. I think the most memorable thus far is my performance in Nassau, Bahamas last year. I was at the One Love Gospel.
Okay.
And, it was pretty amazing to be on the same stage with, you know, gospel singers that I've been looking up to, been listening to forever and a day, and now being on the same stage as them, the Yolanda Adams, the Ernest Pughes, and the, you know, Byron Cages of the world. It was completely amazing to be able to stand before the same crowd that they had ministered to and to be able to sing New Beginnings. It was just really, really memorable and quite a memorable experience. So grateful
awesome.
For that.
Awesome. You know, I can recall I can understand I was a visitor that was part of, not part of, but I was got a chance to go to the Stellar Awards some years ago. And so
yeah.
production happened live, and I guess it had to mm-hmm. be amazing to be on stage and performing
yeah.
there. You know, when you think about, just thinking about your music and everything, and you're part mm-hmm. of the Anointed Productions based in
yeah.
Isaiah
10:27.
Tell us why that verse.
You know, years ago, people used to always tell me, before I even understood what it meant, when I got saved back in like 93, 94 time frame, and I was singing, and praise and worship had just been really introduced to me, and singing solos here and there. And people used to always refer to the anointing. And I was like, what are they talking about? You know, what are they talking about? And they used to always say, the anointing makes a difference. The anointing makes a difference. And as I matured in the word and in my gift and in my calling, it was just like, oh, my goodness. I used to always think that I was the mediocre singer, and because I didn't do a lot of wrists and runs and vocal acrobats and whatnot, I always thought my gift was just that, mediocre. But when the people of God used to come and tell me that, oh, my gosh, you know, the anointing that's on your voice, you know, I could just really feel the presence of God, you know, when you're singing. And then I learned how when David used to praise God and the anointing drove demons away and called, you know, dreams were able to be interpreted and it drove evil spirits away. I was like, yes, God, that's the difference. You may not see an outward manifestation, so to speak, when
sure.
I sing, but it's always been my desire for something to take place deep down on the inside, whether I ever see it or not, going back to that whole seed, some planting, some watering, but God given the increase. I knew then, probably again about 10, 15 years ago, that it was truly the anointing. It really wasn't my voice. It was never my voice that
it's
made the difference.
It's working inside. Just
working on the
out.
Inside. It's my little natural and God's supernatural on top of it, which is the anointing that makes all the difference. And I cannot take any credit for it. But it's definitely God's supernatural anointing that makes the difference when I sing and when change takes place, when chains are broken and destroyed as a result of the anointing that's on my voice. I give God all the glory for that.
Amen to that. I can see it and hear it and I've known it for a while as well, even though we hadn't been connected, but I could see it. You know, when we think about that verse, though, it said, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing."
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I hear it pass, I kind of think about prophecy a little bit and kind of take right? And it says, "Shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." So that's essentially what you just described. Lord, pour that into you. You know, even also you kind of think about that verse totally, though, bringing it to this season. But isn't that prophecy really about the true reason for the season we're in right now?
Indeed. I mean, we say it all the time that Jesus is the reason, but really, I mean, there is no other way. He is the true reason for the season, and his spirit being poured out from one person to another, you know, as a result of what you're doing, and his spirit being poured out of me and you, reminding the world that he's the reason. It's all about Jesus. I mean, it can't get any clearer than that.
Amen. You cannot be, but can you imagine going back to that night? And can you imagine one of the angels speaking to you, one of the shepherds, hoping that you're one of the folks they came to because of...
Right.
Think about it, right?
And
then when you see this, suddenly a host comes and says, "Glory to God, to the highest of all people."
What? That is crazy. Man. And like you said, 15, 16 years old, I think, around that age, you know, that's how old Mary was, you know?
No.
And you're going to be the one.
It's to the point of where, you know, can you imagine, you know, being called and at that age and then just saying yes?
Oh, wow. And saying yes. I knew that there was something because I remember... And there is no comparison to Mary. I remember 15 years old, I used to actually catch a ride to go over to Pine Level to play the piano for the youth choir. 15 years old. I remember because I didn't have my driver's license. And I knew there was something. I was like, well, why can't they get anybody else to do this? But, I mean, it was such an awesome testament of something. I couldn't explain it, but I knew there was something. I was like, okay, God, I'll go. It was another opportunity. You know, I loved being at this church. It was on fire, and everybody, they were doing things that we didn't do at our church. But being called and that at 15, no. I just really could not fathom.
Yeah. And
the magnitude of that.
It's one thing being called, but being called for that purpose.
Man,
that's something really when you talk about come to pass, fulfilling something.
And then being called for a purpose that's not popular. And you're not going to be popular as a result of.
Right.
You know, you're going to be talked about as a result of.
Right.
You know, it's not something that's just going to be all glorified.
Even though, in the end,
later on down the road, you'll be glorified because then the true meaning, everything will be made manifest. But in the beginning, how can this be? You know, there's no way, you know, you're not married. So you've been with a man. You know, all of these things that come with the call. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
All these things. But you know, just in a general sense, is if it was easy, he wouldn't have
everybody
to call for it. He wouldn't have to call for it.
That's right. That is awesome. I love that.
If it was easy,
he wouldn't have to call. They'd come.
They would come. Right? And he needs who are battle tested, who knows he's going to be faithful no matter when times get tough.
Yeah.
He knows that's what he needs. You know, we can spend the rest of the show on that.
I'm stuck. I'm sitting here shaking my head. I'm just like, wow. Yeah.
That holy of nights, even after getting to the point of the angels coming, the shepherds, and everyone coming to see, follow the star, in a sense, right?
Where
you always question, I would always question myself, and not question others, would I have followed the star?
Yeah.
Would I have believed? Or, if the star was now, knowing what we know, how we think we have evolved, and technologies and everything, and the star was tonight, how many of us would follow?
That is a compelling question.
It is, and I also ask myself that, and you would love to think that I would, but
of course I would.
It goes to the point to where it was such a holy night, and so which you know the song we're about to play is I think is one of my favorites. Just a whole holy night. And tell us about why you picked that song to put on your Christmas album.
It's in the name, because the song is so holy. It takes us back to the reason. It takes us back to that night. It places us at the feet of Jesus as he was coming in the world. There's no denying that the night was holy as a result of him coming into the world. And you may not have been there, but you can't deny that he was.
You're right. May not have been there even believe.
You may not have been there.
You're right. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with our special guest, Ms. Lynn Clark, who is answering our question of the day, what happens when angels sing. So during the break, still stay with us. Press 1 on your telephone. That helps you to raise your hand virtually, and I can bring you in. We'd love to hear from you, friends. This is On Cue. Your host, Eric Powell, will be right back after O Holy Night.
Thank you.
thanks for staying with us and listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his purpose. So today's question, what happens when angels sing? Helping us with that is you. Call us. So please continue to call us at 310-861-2331. Press 1 on your telephone. Helping us with that is our special guest, Ms. Lynn Clark, who has learned to sing in so many different ways. And if you just heard that old holy night, you'll know what I'm talking about. It is truly a blessing to have her here, and as well as an anointed voice and anointed purpose in so many different ways. So, Lynn, that was wonderful, Lynn.
Awesome.
Again, it's just always great to hear that voice.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Eric.
You know, when I missed a few folks who had some questions online,
mm-hmm.
and I was hoping to call back in, but they did was kind enough to post one on Facebook for you.
Yeah.
So
let
me use that real quick. They say, what would you say is the greatest expectation that you have that kept you and made you what you are today, and how it changed you in your ministry and in singing?
Oh, okay. I believe it is being true to myself, being true to who I am, and not allowing the different characteristics of others, whether it's their worship style, their voice, not being conformed, going back to your scripture earlier, to the world, but being true to myself and what God has done for me, through me, when I didn't have anything else. I always had a song, I always had a praise, and I always had a worship. And whether I'm standing in front of 5 people or 500 or even 5,000 people, one thing that's undeniable is that my worship is for real. And I know it's that which is going to take me from where I am to even further. I don't know what my expectations are, but I don't really have a limit on my expectations as it pertains to my singing. I don't know what God wants for me in that area. I took the limits off, and I just want God to be God. You know, if it's right here in Richmond, praise be to God. If it's in the United States, praise be to God. If it's in Northern America, praise be to God. But if it's global, you know what, I'm going to go. Just like in the end of New Beginnings, when you download it, you'll hear it. Wherever God goes, wherever he sends me, that's where I'm going to go. And if God just continues to equip me and pour into me, I'm going to pour out as he pours in. And I just, again, just being true to myself and my style of worship and my enthusiasm and my passion for the Lord, because I just can't deny what he's done for me, who he's been to me, and it comes out in my worship.
Yeah. You know, when you have no inhibitions, right, on what you are, it just comes out.
Yeah, it comes
out. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
No, sir.
Trying to figure out what people are going to think about you when they look at you.
Honey. Yeah, the place that I worship now, it was funny. I've been here for 5 years, but when I first started singing there, within the first year, I don't know if you remember on Sesame Street, there's this little game, a song that says, one of these people are doing their own thing. You know, I felt like that one person that was sticking out like a sore thumb, because I was always so energetic and enthusiastic, and people would be like, oh, my gosh, I just love your worship. And I was like, okay, what's wrong with this picture?
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to bring it down a little bit so that I can conform to everybody else. But no.
You know,
No. So, you know, there's always balance, of course. You can't, when you're in a group, you can't totally go off the deep end. And that's not what I'm saying. But it is saying being true to God and just really letting it all hang out when you're giving God his best. Give
God
your best.
Yeah, you remember the old song, I got to find me a choir. So hopefully it won't
I think you should close and sing that. In closing, I think you should sing that.
You know what? I may not have any audience after that to hear me sing.
No, we don't want that. Never mind. Look. Kennedy comes back and she'll be like, Dad, what happened? Look.
No, Dad, please. Don't do it. That's Kennedy. Please,
never
please.
Again. Look.
You know, you talked about taking you places, no matter where, if it's Richmond or wherever. And if we in the whole theme about angels, they've really been messengers, ambassadors of God in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And you would say your purpose is like being that, right? Being that messenger.
Yes, I believe so.
Ways. And I know that you shared that. And no matter where you are, but you know, we also going to use this time to kind of talk about a few memories, right? Tell us about your favorite Christmas moment as a child. I know it had to do with singing, so you know, just tell us about it, right?
Kind of, sorta. It had to do with music.
Right.
And you know, it's unfortunate that the favorite Christmas moment has to do with a gift, but. You know, as a child, that's what we relate things to. I remember one year, I think I was around 10, 11, and you know how mom and dad do it. You know, what do you want for Christmas? Tell us what you want for Christmas. Well, everybody else was asking for bikes and this and that, and I was like, well, I want a keyboard. And dad was like, honey, I'm not getting you a keyboard. You know, what are you talking about? So Christmas morning rolled around, and I got this Casio keyboard. And, honey, that was the beginning. I mean, this keyboard probably was maybe 12 inches long.
Sure.
I'm telling you, it was probably 12 inches long, but it had so many little things on it, and I believe that's what tapped into my spirit to where I am now. I mean, I have a huge keyboard now, but, man, yes, I believe before Dad even taught me how to play on the big piano that was in our house, I had my own little personal keyboard, and there were times when everybody was outside, when they were outside riding on their bikes, and I didn't have a bike because I didn't ask for a bike.
Sure.
I asked for a keyboard, and my dad got me a keyboard. And even though I was like, God, I kind of wish I'd asked for a bike,
yeah,
because I want to ride a bike like everybody else. But I had no idea how much of an impact that gift would have on my life, even
so,
now.
So, Lynn, you know, I'm trying to contain myself right now, right? Why? Because I'm about to jump out of my seat because...
No, you're not. Look...
Think about, you know, I share with those first two questions that I share with you. I ask you about one word, and then what would you do? And it's all in your purpose, right? It's all rounded about sharing the gospel through song, through music, through your talents, right? Being an ambassador for it around that. And, and I talk in my curriculum and Q, is part of that is understanding your purpose.
Yeah.
How we go through a series of exercises, but at the end, how we confirm it, Lynn, ask for our participants, the students, and who are in the, I call it in the huddle instead of a workshop, to name the three gifts to confirm your purpose.
Wow.
Think about it. Christ got three gifts on the day he was born to show his purpose. And there are three gifts that we all, once we know we're in tune online and one accord with the Lord, we're operating our purpose, he's giving you something concrete. I'm not talking about your voice and something, but something
right.
to confirm it. And one of your gifts is that Casio keyboard.
Yes.
It just opened your whole, and I'll give you an example. Mine was, you know, I'm a questioner. I question everything. And it was a $2 science kit that my mom got from a rummage sale.
Aww.
Her scope, you know, just I dissected any bug I could get, and I used those World Book Encyclopedias, remember those?
Yeah, yes.
And going and researching and questioning. I was running science projects before I even knew what a science project was.
Yeah.
But it opened my whole world of asking questions, breaking down things, and assessing them and coming with a solution, which I do in my life, my current work, and this is what the curriculum is all about. This is what my ministry is all about, helping people lead, understand those things. So in the next, over Christmas time, before you go back to work, figure out what those other two gifts are and come.
Yes.
Email me.
I will. Now you got. I'm so curious. I can't wait to ponder. Look, that is awesome.
Or concrete. And my other two is my study Bible. My sister Gladys gave me when I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was a note from a lady on the train when the Lord's about to take me through some things, but he already given me the answer how to get through it. I didn't know it, though. So those are
my... Oh, man.
Okay? He basically, I was called early. He's put me back on track, and that's what that note did. So I'm not making this about me, but I had to give that to you just a little bit.
No, that's beautiful.
So let's get back on track.
I'm so excited. This is so amazing. Yes.
You know, earlier we talked about, though, imagining, you know, being called at 13 or 14 for this purpose, that to bring the Lord and Savior into this world, right?
Yeah.
And so when you know, what Mary had to go through as in her first Christmas at that young age, when he calls you to kind of go through some things. And
yes.
So, you know, I wanted to give the audience a little flavor on, you know, sometimes you don't know what he's asking you to do, but you just got to, you don't know what it's going to entail, but you just got to trust, right? You got to trust and follow him. And, you know, I'm going to ask you, if you will, I'm asking for an A and B selection.
No, you are not. Literally, right?
A, B selection. So we got some other music to play, but I just want folks to know that this is, to your point, your ministry is real, right?
Yes.
This is, and tie that, you know, to, you know, being called at an age and not knowing Christmas, all of that. Just, you know, grace us.
Yes. Grace us. Grace you. Let's see. I am sitting here stunned. Mary, did you know? Did you know? Wow. I can't imagine. I'm just seriously sitting here seeing myself as a 15-year-old, and I'm going back to that holy night, and I'm just totally stunned. But, okay, let's do What Child Is This first, and then I'll do Mary, Did You Know? How about that?
Perfect.
That work? Okay. Let's see. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary.
All
right. Why?
Her worship is real.
Aww.
It's, her praise is real. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
That was awesome.
So whatever else is on your heart as well. I know we're going off script
okay.
here.
Indeed.
Know. Lord, take us where we want to go.
Yes. Thank you for that. Because, you know, I did say, Mary, did you know? But I'm going to change gears a little bit.
Okay.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, it's bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy and but so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace.
it. You know, I had to
Amen.
Put myself on mute there for a second. But
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, that type of spirit feel, praise, music, you know, that's what can break a yoke, right? From around
yes.
the neck.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It will break my yoke even while I'm singing it. Hallelujah. You know, because sometimes you just don't feel like going.
You got to try to contain yourself.
Yes.
But you just got to let it go. That was absolutely beautiful. Where?
Yes.
So it is a moment that we sometimes, even today, we put the commercial lens on, and I try not to. I know that I want to make sure my kids enjoy things and that type of thing, but not forget what the true reason for this. And it is so, so important for us to get back to that.
Indeed.
So how do you manage it, Lynn, or manage it over the years, making sure that your family or friends or whoever you know, your spirit influence, is on that accord?
Yeah.
How do we do
that? And you said it. I mean, my family, I go back to my family who keeps me grounded, whether it's my husband and my children and my sisters, Stacy and Jen, E and Matt, Mom and Dad, keeping me grounded and definitely being plugged into my local ministry. It's not about putting me on a pedestal, but about, you know, putting things in their proper order. And, you know, God, the family, the church, all of those things, keeping things in perspective and in the priorities in the right order helps keep me grounded and takes the focus off of commercialism, but keeping it on what's really important. And then it's about reaching the world through Jesus Christ, you know, through the love and, you know, of Jesus. And that's what the song is all about, touching something, talking about something that's bigger than us, bigger than me. And, you know, even as I'm literally plugged into the ministry. I don't just go to sing. I mean, I'm constantly hungry for the word and seeking after God, asking what must I do to go further, to go deeper. You know, am I missing the mark? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing, whether it's on my job, whether it's at home? Because some of the times, you know, it's not when we're singing on the stages. It's right in the home at work. Those are our fiercest battlegrounds. And, you know, my family totally keeps me where I need to be. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Wouldn't have it any other way. It is a grounding. And, you know, once you have anointing, once the Lord anoints what you're doing, I think that's important for what I share with folks, you know, where, you know, we got to start with the anchor. I call it
yeah.
a point of reverence. What do you revere, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll ask a question about who you are, but it's who you are. Once you know you,
who's
how you define through the Lord, you're okay. But then he can give you your purpose because he can trust you, right?
And you know what? He knows it all. He knows all along what he can trust you with. He knows it. But we have to get to a place where God will give us sprinkles of what he can trust us with so we can know it. He knows it. He
absolutely.
Has to show us. And
you,
we
you
need
know,
to see
renowned,
for ourselves what can be trusted with.
Absolutely. You know, a renowned pastor that I know and attends church periodically has this saying, not stealing, but I give him you know, credit for it. You know, if you don't have those things lined up, he said, a confused identity matched with an unclear purpose gives you a sense of a blessless life. Say that one more time.
That is profound.
Identity matched with an unclear purpose gives you a sense of a blessless life.
Wow.
If we're not hooked to the anchor, to the eternal source, and going around trying to find ourselves in all sorts of ways, and running around here loose and scattered, not on purpose, cycles and cycles of things that we don't need to get going through trying to find meaning and purpose in our lives.
Man.
But you know, if we're not on that accord, man, he can't anoint what you're doing, can he?
Right. No, he can't. He can't. And that's why it's so unfortunate that people, when we don't know who we're not connected to the source, you know, we are easily attached to things, to people, and we're lost, and it can't be blessed, you know, because we're not attached to that source that you're speaking of. And God can anoint. He won't. You know, I've heard it said before, and it sounds kind of, you know, cliche, but God can't bless mess. He just can't.
he cannot. You're right.
He will not. Not with his anointing. He will not put his anointing on that.
He cannot. I love that. It is. He can't bless mess at the end of the day. And so, but that mess is what he's talking about. And is Isaiah 10:27 about that burden taken on your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and a yoke can be destroyed because of that anointing oil, right? When I hear that, I automatically think about Christ in the alabaster box. I just go directly, right? And if you kind of think about it, it's kind of part of one of his gifts too at the beginning.
Like
a little oil to anoint what he was doing, right?
Mm.
So it's important for us as followers of Christ in order to kind of spread that, but in order to get to that anointing, you got to be on the anchor. You got to know you belong to him. You got to be on purpose. And to your point, he can't anoint mess either, right?
That's right.
Just changed the words from blessed to anointing.
So
which just brings us to a point of, you know, if there was a song that you felt that has anointed, has touched somebody's spirit over all the places you've sang before, what would that be? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what would that be?
The battle is the Lord's. I think it would be the battle is the Lord's.
Battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great time for what we sing from Eric Gardner. What's happening in New York? What's happening with the cops that got killed in New York for point blank range by someone trying to take revenge? How appropriate is that? Can you share a little bit from us that the battle is the Lord, because it is
indeed. You know, our warfare is spiritual. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And, you know, if we know our word, we know that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. This is prophecy being fulfilled. And the battle is the Lord's is a reminder that we are not to take matters into our own hands, but we have a God who sees all, who knows all. And if we trust him with the very matters of our lives, though we don't understand everything that's going on, though we don't like the way things are progressing, if and when they even are, if we could just trust enough in him to see us through situations, however negative, however scandalous they may be, God will get the glory out of it. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is our victor. Our victory is in him. It's not in us having our own revenge. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And that's, I think, the hardest thing for a carnal man to do is to see someone or be on the other end of wrong, be on the receiving end of wrong, and not be able to recompense. It's a tough, tough place to be. But God always puts us in those tough places so that once again he can be glorified in the end.
Amen. 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 You're so right, and it's about starts with love and forgiveness and surrendering to that, and more and more that we think about doing those things. That's how we can solve this. You talking about peace and justice?
Yeah.
You have peace if you got heart in the heart.
You
will never get there.
So
you know,
it's
we're
doing the same thing that they're doing. How can there be? Yeah, that's like loving your brother. You say, you know, you love those who love you. Oh, well, that's easy. You said it before.
It is.
If he didn't call, everybody would come. If everybody loved everybody, we wouldn't have any problems.
We wouldn't. We would not. Mm-hmm. We would not. You know, so Lynn, we're going to take a quick break. I lost a few people. I know they're waiting on to ask the question I was trying to get to. As soon as I clicked it, they jumped off. We have Lynn Clark here and talking about her great music, her ministry. We're talking about her album. We're talking about the Christmas album, and she's just released here, but also her latest album, New Beginnings. And so we're asking, answer the question today, what happens when the angels sing? So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to call back in with that question. That number, I think it was 918, is at 310-861-2331. I promise I'll bring you in as soon as you get in before the break. And to ask questions, press 1 on your telephone, and we would love to have you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Who is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Welcome back. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. You remember our mission here, friends, is to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purposes. Today's question of the day, what happens when angels sing? Helping us with that is our special guest, is Lynn Clark, who is born to sing, who's singing in so many different venues across the country, is a worship leader in so many different places, a former military vet, and as well as sister. A person who allows the Lord to use her as a blessing to so many different people with her gift of song. So, Lynn, thanks for staying with us.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay. I told you, Kennedy's not here, and I'm thinking I'm just, I'm better at this now. I think we got you now.
Yes, you've been doing a great job.
Exactly. And we thank you for staying with us. We time flies, right? I know we're coming up against our time, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to share with everyone, how do we support you and your efforts, what you got going on now, anything that's around your ministry that those who are listening can chime in and support in so many different ways.
Indeed. Thank you for this opportunity. Again, Eric, it means so much to me. Listeners hopefully can go and download my music from all different sorts of venues, outlets. You can definitely go to my website, lyndaclarkmusic.com, or you can go to iTunes or Amazon and download the music. You mentioned New Beginnings, the album. That is available, as well as Christmas with Lynda Clark, the EP extended play singles are available for download. And, of course, donations are always accepted. as I travel the world, singing locally and nationally, there are costs associated with everything. But definitely I really appreciate the support and the downloads of the music. The best is yet to come. I'm actually in the studio currently working on the completion of the Christmas album. So hopefully next year this time I have the full Christmas album.
Okay, well great. That's awesome. We look forward to it. We definitely have you back. Maybe just a regular Christmas show, together. And we can do something like that. That is awesome. You mentioned your website. Can you say that one more time? Your website?
Absolutely. It's LindaClarkMusic.com. Linda Clark, no E, music.com.
Right.
And, of course,
so
I'm on all of the social sites, Facebook and the Twitter, Instagram, under Linda Clark Music.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. You know, Linda, I think that we have a question of someone calling in, so just we're going to bring him in.
All right.
This is on
my
cue.
Thing is, Eric.
Who are you calling from?
Alabama.
Alabama, what's your question?
My question is, if we look back and y'all were talking about the people that followed the star, but the amazing thing about the person, the magi that followed the star, they wasn't even the chosen people. They were like from pagan country.
Yeah.
And the very people that was looking for the Messiah, they missed it. And we as people today, we don't want to get caught up in religion and still miss it. You know, we can go to church and still miss it because the people of that time, they knew the scriptures, but they missed the Messiah.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, and what you guys were saying, that even in that, we got to make sure we don't follow the wrong star and miss the coming of the Lord. We can get caught
Amen.
Up in distractions and things that's going on in our life, and we got to stay focused and hear his voice like never before, because so much is happening in churches. We just got to make sure we have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for blessing us with that. And she answered our question. Right,
yeah,
Liz?
That's really good. I like that. I like that a lot. And I was, when she started speaking, I instantly thought, you know, they didn't have nearly as many distractions as we have today, I don't believe. You know, we compete with technology, we compete with the world and all of these other things. And like she said, they used the pagan people of the countries, you know, and they were looking and still missed the star. Half of us aren't even looking for the star, first and foremost, and then we're looking at the wrong star. So that's key. I mean, I'm definitely going to apply that myself because, you know, God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to come, you know, like a meteorite out of the sky, so to speak, but ever so gentle. And you really, really have to be looking for him in order to find him.
I think you just hit on it where, you know, those people they did find, they were, you said, didn't have a lot of distractions. When you
mm-hmm.
own, there's no distractions. Those mm-hmm. folks you call were actually doing their purpose. They were actually,
mm-hmm.
actually there operating within that. Some shepherds all the way through. And just kind of hit me there. That's kind of part of it as well. So I think we got one more question, Lynn, before we try to close out here.
Okay.
You're on cue. This is Eric Powell, who we're speaking with. I guess we lost them again. So if you get a chance to call back in, please do that. So Lynn, as we close out our last 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
what can we be in prayer with you about?
Well, let's see. You know, the enemy is not happy, nor am I trying to make him happy. I'm trying to please God in everything that I do. And my sincerest prayer is that the people, your listeners, would continue to lift me up as I go, as I press, and do the will of the Lord, you know, fulfilling the call that he has on my life, and that I just go in full force, and that there are nothing keeping me, preventing me, basically, from doing what he's called me to do. And that's what I ask that, you know, you all pray for.
Well, we're going to touch virtually and agree on that tonight.
Amen.
That Lord covers you in that way, and we're going to lift you up in doing so. And we thank you once again for taking the time out. I know it's in the middle of some great football going on right now, but, you know, that's a...
Go Dallas.
It is.
Look.
And it's
yeah.
good. But, you know, I just want to thank you. And it's always great reconnecting. You know, it's amazing
mm-hmm.
how we can go back there with
yeah.
each other because we come from some of the same places and got some of the same seeds root put
yeah.
in us. But even after
yes.
almost 25 years, it's just like we just never left. We're
exactly.
we're at club meet, Ebony Club meet.
Yeah.
at the fish fry.
Man, at the fish fries and the social
fish
club
fries,
meetings.
Right?
Oh, my. Some of the best times ever.
The simple
oh,
and great and lots of fun.
Simple and great.
Oh,
our
my.
Kids have no clue.
They have no clue. We need video games. We just need ourselves and our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It was
but
amazing.
What's interesting, I'm finding my teenage son is now asking me, can we go to Alabama and, you know, hang? And I'm just like, really? Oh. See, he's getting it now. He's getting
yeah.
it. It's not about all fast and moving and fast-paced everything. But it's about family. It's about, you know, sitting down and those quality moments, making those memories that had we not made them, we wouldn't be able to sit here and reflect 25 years ago.
No. Sure, you're so right. And I think you're right. Kennedy, my oldest, finally said it when we were there last year. She said, I finally see why. She said, this is so peaceful. It's so much, so different from being in Dallas area because you just get
yes.
away. I said, well, I'm glad you see it, babe. Glad you see it.
It took you long enough, but I'm glad you see it.
thank you. Hopefully you'll be able to come back, and even, you know, if you feel you got something on your heart, you want to come back and share, great, feel free to call me up, and let's do that as well. And, of course, you ever in the area, you know, make sure we're connected, or even at home. You know, we probably need to kind of put together a program at home anyway, right?
Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, my gosh, let's work that out. Yeah.
Oh, I know. So
my
thank
sisters
you.
And I actually talking about doing a concert in Alabama sometime next year. But, you know, definitely we'll keep you on tap for that. So,
well, you know, think about it. If you think about just starting with the 4 or 5 guests I've had in this last year and a half that from our hometown mm-hmm. who are singing praise from country to all of that, from Lindsay.
Mm.
You kind of think about it. That could be a pretty good show. That could be a pretty good
isn't
show.
That's something.
Awesome. And, hey, well, thank you. Well, Lynn, you know what? Someone does have a question. I was going – they came back. Before I let you go, I'm going to ask that – let them get that question in. Start with your last song. So you're on cue. Where are you from?
Me?
Yes.
I don't have a question. This is her sister, Jen.
Oh, great.
Hi,
Mr. Jen. How are you?
I chimed in later. We've been out at a service, and I just want to say this has been awesome. I'm so proud of you, big sister, along with everybody else who are listening. We will be praying for you and everyone who are doing the work of Christ. I just love you so much, and you being my big sister, you are an inspiration. I love you.
Aww,
and thank
God
you, Eric.
God bless you. I love you, Jen. Thank you for that.
Good to hear you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. That was great. That was great. Thanks, Jen. That's a good ending, right? That's
yes,
absolutely
indeed.
Good.
Yes, indeed. That's beautiful.
So thank you, and we'll be in touch, and I appreciate you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Lynn Clark. And go find her music, and
yes.
and I actually on our invitation we'll have her information where you can download her music from iTunes and as well as other places. So, but you know, before we go, we want to thank her for coming on. Thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry will help you get on cue with the Lord, and ask all to keep us in your prayers. Like us on Facebook, all social media. Ask a friend to come listen to our show. If you're talking about leadership, it's around your family, a church, or a community. Consider us. You know, we also my book will be out finally, A Leader in the Mirror, and it is about purpose. It is about how to be in transformation. It is about getting that anointing in the right season in order to be transformation for the Lord's will, and about renewing of your mind as well. And so, give thanks to all my give thanks and honor and glory to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to all my assistant. She was here, my wife, my other daughter, and all the friends and family of faith who would dedicate this show to those who are serving, especially those families who need to be healing because of the stripes that's going on in this nation. This has been On Cue until next week. We're going to close out with Lynn's song this Christmas.
Thank you.